Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcasts and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hey, this is Booker T, WCW five-time champion and WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to In the Room. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Gentlemen, we're back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, right here live on VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks here, and we are excited to talk to all of you guys. I can't wait. It's going to be a great time. 914-338-1885 is the number to call in tonight as well, if you guys want to call in once again. 914-338-1885. As I said, I'm Brady Hicks. Joining me, as always, the lovely Kathy Fitz. How you doing, Kathy?
Good, Brady. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, can't be better.
I know.
It would be a crime if I were any better. So.
No, please.
We have the one and only maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Stro. How you doing?
Oh, great! Great to be here with you guys. Life is grand. Happy Papa Wing to everyone. Happy Halloween. Get lots of candy and try not to get too drunk through the holidays.
And try not to get too spooked tonight, because I have a feeling that's on the way as well.
That's every night in my house, Brady.
Yeah. Where is Dorothy? She's got to be floating around here somewhere.
Oh, she's watching as we speak. She's a big fan of the show.
Fantastic. And I'm proud to say, actually, speaking of watching us, we have two guys right now who actually came back. They liked it enough that they came back. We'll start with Patrick. How are you doing tonight, Patrick?
Oh, man, Brady Hicks and the Hot Licks. I am ready to go. Even Rat Boy couldn't scare me off, though I've been informed there's some callers that are worse.
Oh,
so, you know.
He's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
I need a T-shirt that says Hot Licks on it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell my girlfriend that's my nickname. She'll... Kathy, she probably that's knew it all along.
Please.
I hope she knows.
Kevin Brady as well. What's going on, Kevin? How you doing tonight?
Well, the original Brady in the house once again, repping Steel Cage Radio with my partner, the Hash, Patrick Hackett. And, you know, I want to warn everyone out there, I've seen on my mom's Facebook page that apparently you've got to beware of people giving away pot candy to your kids at Halloween. And I want to let you know that if that should happen, if you should get like a weed gummy or some other kind of ghost treat, don't call the police. Just send them right to me. I can always use a little extra. So
do like an exchange.
Are
there half-price
CBD stores? Are there half-price CBD stores?
No one likes this shit.
That is like my favorite. That is like, that's the thing, that's my favorite, like, you know, Halloween horror thing now. It's like, oh, no. Look, dude, it is not cheap to buy dose treats. I am certainly not giving them to your shitty kid in his plastic mask.
If it's a good mask. Like,
oh, if it's a really good mask.
Yeah.
Then you'll give them.
If you see him stumbling down the street, listen to Pink Floyd, you know in trouble.
That's my kind of kid. Put that on the record, I guess. I'm so bad to put that on the record.
Well, I always say, we actually have a disclaimer that said you couldn't take anything that we said seriously, and I think that's fair to say. I would say about, like the wrestling business, about 90% of what you see, you can question. So.
This is all a work.
Totally.
Life's a work. Life's a work, man.
Ain't that the truth? So we're excited, like I said, to talk with all you guys tonight. The number, once again, 914-338-1885. So we have Joey Ace is actually going to be joining us in about, 20, 25 minutes or so. Joey is one of the standout stars of not just Warriors of Wrestling, but ECWA as well. He recently featured on Pro Wrestling Illustrated, not in a piece written by me, but absolutely a great piece written by Mike Bessler. And you guys should check it out.
A well-written piece, then.
A very well-written piece, yes. Absolutely, yeah. And you know it's in the magazine because I didn't write it. So that's an easy way to know. I am only playing, of course. But, so Joey, actually, I think it was last year, Joey joined – for one night on Dynamite, he was part of the Inner Circle because he's really good friends with Santana and Ortiz. So he was part of that whole New York crew when they did a beatdown one time. And Joey's a great guy. He really is. We're going to have a lot of fun talking with him, talking about his career, kind of where he's headed and everything he's got going on as well. So there's that, Kathy. And there was also some sad news this week. Friend of the show, guy that a lot of people, for a lot of years, I mean, he was kind of a top guy in TNA for a little bit and stuff like that, and Ring of Honor. So Jimmy Rave, actually, and he had his, I believe it was his left arm amputated a couple years ago because of an infection. It came out this week that he had to have both of his legs amputated as well. So this is turning into some kind of, like, sick, like, grindhouse movie, unfortunately.
MRSA is horrible.
My
broadcast colleague from when I was in Defiant Pro Wrestling went in for a regular procedure and, you know, has lost part of his foot, part of his toes.
Oh, my God.
It's so hard.
MRSA is no joke. It's very dangerous.
Scary
and
stuff. That's one of my biggest fears.
They do have a GoFundMe page up for him. He's been in a rehab center, and the bill is definitely astronomical. I know they raised a substantial amount of money, but they're still looking for more. As a matter of fact, before I knew any of this, Jimmy Rave reached out to me last week, and he said, I don't know if you're still around the wrestling business because of everything, but is there anybody you can put me in touch with that I can tell my story? Unbeknownst to me that he had had both legs amputated. And I said, well, you know, get in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with Brady. And I'm sure we can have you come on the show. And then
I'll reach out to him.
Sunday, I read this and I'm like, what? And it seems that some of the promoters that he had said he couldn't do shows for because of his legs were being really sore and everything. We're bad-mouthing him to everybody.
That stinks.
Like I said, I never stiffed a promoter in my life. And this was something I didn't want to come out about, but it had to. So he only has up to his elbow of his left arm and up to both knees. And that's it. And
it's horrible.
It's a horrible, disgusting, horrible thing. And all I can say prayers for him. you know, I'm not a big pusher for GoFundMe sites because you never know. But
it's safe to say that this one's legit. I'll be sure to include a link to that with the show description as well, so people can donate to Jimmy if they want to. From my perspective, I can't even imagine being somebody who's athletic and it's going to sound awful, Kathy, but if you were to cut off both my legs, I would probably hardly notice the difference because I sit most of the time anyway. I don't really do it. I had one of those trackers one time, Kathy. We were doing a competition at work who walked the most. There was one day where I walked 23 steps. 23 steps, barely like the bathroom in the kitchen, you know? So barely. But for that, I can't even imagine somebody who just wants so badly to get back in the ring and, to be in that kind of a situation. And so young, too. He's still young.
Exactly.
So I will
really
absolutely.
Really talented guy, too.
He's great.
Able to get crowds to just abhor him with minimal effort.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. He's a pro, for sure. I'll reach out to him, Kathy. I didn't want to make it look like I was, trying to capitalize on his situation or whatever, you know?
No,
if he's up for an interview.
He reached out to me. If you know, do you have his number and everything? If not, I'll try to get it.
I should. I should still. I think I do. I'll take a look
if
after
not,
the show.
If not, just let me know and I'll...
just give it to us right now over the air.
And she's going to look it up. I think I have it. I should have it. Not like that time when we confirmed Dustin's number on the air and he read it back to us just to make sure that it was correct. Not like that.
Davenport, Iowa. Imagine that.
Oh, my God. That guy Dustin was insane, guys. He used to, he started out with, a simple lie, how he was close with Seth Rollins. And the lie just grew, and, my God, he spoofed a number and had somebody from Davenport, Iowa calling us and hanging out. He started talking about being on, the Seth Rollins, tour bus with him. He was going to every show. What happened? Sure. At one point, Kathy, you remember this? He actually won the WWE title from Seth Rollins in a dark match. But he won it back before they made TV, and they didn't acknowledge it.
Obviously, sure.
It's like Bob Backlund's title loss in the 70s, they stricken it from the record. It wasn't official, so
he actually won it in a tournament in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Right.
Make work of it.
He gets the concept of wrestling, for sure. So hopefully we get Dustin and we get some other callers tonight, too. That would be fantastic. 914-338-1885. I also wanted to mention real quick the Charlotte thing, and not that I want to, dwell on it or whatever, but it is amazing to me how quickly the world has turned against the Flairs. I mean, between the dark side of the ring thing. Yeah. Although I did see that the WWE started using the woo again in commercials, so I don't know. Who knows?
I just watched that episode of Dark Side of the Ring this week, and I was commenting to Hack off the air. I was saying, you know, I remember when the plane ride from hell happened, and I remember hearing, because we were smarts at the time, and I remember hearing, you know, part of the story, like, oh, yeah, you know, the headache fight with Brock Lesnar, and then you come to find out that, like, you know, Ric Flair is whipping his dick out in front of a stewardess, and you know, Aldo Montoya has to fucking Weekend at Bernie's Scott Hall through customs.
Yeah.
You don't call PJ that. That's horrible.
did you hear about the stewardess that was making the accusations? You know, she's got a rap sheet of her own.
I did see that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we want to dive too deeply into this right now, but I mean, do you doubt that Ric Flair would do something like that? I mean, is that? I mean, Stro, you're the only one here that probably ever interacted with Ric Flair, right? So, I mean, does that seem like something outside of his
personality? Ric Flair has been known to do his rope dances. Trust me, okay?
Right.
Kathy, have you ever seen one?
I have never seen him force himself on anybody. You know what I mean?
He never forced himself.
I mean, he just... No.
I think it depends on your definition of force himself. I mean...
Yeah. But Charlotte,
I don't think Charlotte backing people into a corner and whipping open her rope. That's what I would. That's the story I want to hear.
Well, like, I don't know. Like,
I'm sure.
we'll have to talk about that. But like, I know Ric Flair has always like been so guarded. Like that's why like the whole thing seems strange to me. Like it always seems like stuff that he was always wanting to do in front of the boys. You know what I mean? For the story, like, with the stewardess and everything, and I know WWE even had, like, a cartoon about it and everything back when sexual assault was okay, 20 years ago. When it was, like, a funny thing, you know?
Watching Rob Van Dam on that episode talk about, they were dosing people with GHB and Halcyon.
And that's what Scott Hall and Steve
on the road and you put a couple GHB in a girl's drink, and that's just the way things were. I'm like, God damn, Rob.
Right. But that's the thing, and I don't know how much of it is true, but I mean, my own experience of Ric Flair has always been that this guy is so guarded that was only the kind of stuff that he did in front of the boys. You know, he only did that with his posse.
Well, there's a lot of mystique to maintain with him.
Sure.
And that story does not play well into the mystique of the Nature Boy.
Not at all.
We were fed a lot about him and, you know, we heard stories and, yeah, it was different times and it wasn't okay then, but we had a different reaction to it. And it's. You know, I'm not going to disparage a stewardess. I'll say allegedly, but like, Kev and I were talking and we said we probably wanted to bring it up to Papa Stro off the air before we brought it up. Is what is the Dark Side of the Ring good for the business? Is it really bad for the business?
I don't even care about if it's good for the business. Is it good? Because it's a negative impact on the business, I think, a lot of times. But is it good that these stories get out? Because I think today, I was just reading right before we went on the air, Roger Goodell just said that he's not going to release the emails from the Washington Football Team investigation after the John Gruden blow up.
Yeah.
Right.
He already got his scapegoat. He's good.
Right. That's the point I was going to bring up. A lot of these documentaries are so political. You only show one side of the coin. If you're going to do an honest documentary, you need to hit all spectrums, every side. And there was pointed out that plane ride from hell from certain characters that were involved. That if the truth were known, they should have had the spotlight on them too. I mean, it weren't just Flair involved in all this.
Through the whole Me Too and everything, how the hell is Vince McMahon still a public figure?
That's a great question.
I mean, I'm not looking for a job anytime soon, so I can say things like this.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree with you 100%, Hack. And I'll tell you what, I think it's getting back to your idea of the Ric Flair mystique, and like Brady said, he only did that kind of stuff in front of the boys. For all intents and purposes, he was doing that stuff in front of the boys. There just happened to be the one stewardess there that's
yeah.
the victim of it. And you know, the onus then comes on, you know, and again, hindsight is 20/20, and lots of people that you once thought were decent guys were actually pieces of shit throughout history. But the question has to be then, there's a spotlight has to swing on the guys that are on that show now talking about it, and it's like, all right, well, RVD, why didn't you say something to anyone 20 years ago?
Right.
Or, you know, Tommy Dreamer, or you know, Dreamer's out here defending him like it's no big deal. It is a big deal, Tommy. You have to admit that it's a big
deal.
Well,
it's a big deal. Now, you get the artist of Outside the Ring squeezing up to the AEW guys later yeah. on, like Jericho and the rest mm-hmm. of them. I mean, I'm like, come on, man.
They
really?
Were on that plate, too. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and look, every documentary, no matter what the subject, has an angle. That's just
absolutely.
The nature of storytelling.
Absolutely.
It's filmmaking, it's storytelling, whether your subject is something
it's
that's
like everything
real
else.
Or not.
Yeah.
It's a word.
There's always,
huge
everyone's
word.
Always got an angle, and you'll never get a, you know, there is no documentary that can just show you the footage and not comment on it, because then you can't watch it.
Right.
You know, there's no entertainment to not commenting on it.
You know, I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying, if you're going to cover something, you need to cover the whole ball of wax.
Well, sure.
Yeah, not just take a couple people out of the
yeah.
picture who are
that
in
was,
the picture.
That was true.
Right.
But no, you got to be fair and say that they did say that some of the people they did try to contact for comment on the story refused to talk to them. Well, you can't, you know, you can't force Ric Flair to come on and defend himself. But then,
yeah.
you know, if he doesn't want to defend himself, then that's yeah. kind of on him too.
Yeah. So
but,
Charlotte.
So Charlotte, yeah, no, real quick before we get into
I think
that.
There's a deeper conversation to be had about the show in general. Like I said,
yeah.
for every episode of the show that's just like, hey, you know, the Owen Hart episode, while depressing, is an interesting watch, and it's not necessarily exposing the business, other than pointing out, you know, Vince apparently, possibly, allegedly cheaped out on the rigging company, whatever. You know, but then you have these other episodes that are like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, let's, you know, is it, how harmful is it now to see that maybe some of your heroes growing up weren't so worthy of that title? It's no different than the Hulk Hogan sex tape or him getting caught on a voicemail using the N-word. I mean, you know, those falls from grace can be a,
yeah.
a long fall.
For sure. So here's what was interesting to me. I feel like when you're talking about the plane ride from hell thing, and that was quite a – it's amazing that we jumped right on that like that, but it's such a unique
real
story.
Hard not to.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I mean, it bears mentioning. So there was nothing that had – like when I watched that documentary, I learned nothing because everything that they said – I had already read reports about, you know, I knew about the lawsuit with the stewardess. There was nothing that anybody said that surprised me. So in that respect, I was really surprised by the fallout from it. You know, who lost their job, who lost their sponsorship, whatever the case may be. I understand why. It just seemed like such a delayed reaction to me at that point.
We have a lot of that right now, though. It's a lot of stuff catching up, and it seems
yeah.
in a different light, in a different time. And WWE is a publicly traded company that has shows on Fox and has shows on Peacock that a lot of big-name corporations have their hands in, and it's a different age. It's not just Vince back there cutting checks. You know, there's a lot of different things. And he, you know, you got to do what you have to do in these situations. But like you were saying, a lot of this was knowledge was out there, and people kept, you know, it's a different time, and we're learning and hopefully growing and improving as a people. And you know, we'll see where we go from here. We just hope that the next generation doesn't make the same mistakes that we do.
Amen, brother. To your point, Brady.
Amen, man.
what I started out saying about this story, and you know, you're right, the information about the lawsuit, I guess, was out there, but you're also a lot more plugged in than maybe the average viewer. I remember hearing, like I said, they let the reports hit the dirt sheets right after they happened about the fight. That was common knowledge. But this other stuff, even back then, I don't remember it coming out, at least in the specifics of it coming out like they're coming out now. And I think the guys that are taking the most heat off of this whole thing are, you know, rightfully Flair and Tommy Dreamer, who's just dismissing everything, regardless of who says what. And he came off very victim-blamey in his interview segment.
He got fired for it.
Because of what Patrick said, because you're a publicly traded company with major sponsors, yeah, we don't want a guy that's going to victim blame, you know, and say, well, if this really happened, she shouldn't have settled, because now you're basically, I mean, that's rape culture 101. Like, that's why rapes don't go reported.
But here's my thing. And here's where I'm kind of circling around to, I think, because if I'm a wrestler or I'm in even moderate, like in the position I'm in, which basically I'm relatively free to say what I want, and like, you know, I probably should knock on wood there, because I'm sure at some point something's going to catch up with me with my jokes. But I feel like if that show contacted me, as much as I would like the press, I would run. I would run. And it's not necessarily because they're not doing a great job of being like a muckraking documentary. I think they're fantastic at what they do, and they're always compelling shows. But Rob Van Dam said
informative too. Some of them are pretty informative. I learned a lot. I'm trying to think. Was it Chris Adams? Was it the Chris Adams one or somebody from that?
The Canyon one?
No, not Canyon. I didn't watch that one yet. But one
Adams,
of the
Canyon episode is fantastic.
Yeah, one of the season one episodes. Like, I learned a lot about somebody in the business I knew nothing about. I can't remember his name.
It probably was Adams. Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot from that one. I know that. But, like, Rob Van Dam went on record and said, like, you know, they kind of cherry-picked and lifted quotes and manipulated it in such a way that, like, it made it sound like he was endorsing things that he stood his ground on that. You know, he said, like, this isn't what I said. This is what I said, and this is how they made it sound. And I think Tommy Dreamer kind of, like, followed suit with that, which was probably a little bit smart. But what's the benefit if you're in the industry to participating in something like this? You make the industry seem horrible. Certainly WWE, which, WWE, it's not like they need favors. So, I mean, that's fine. What's the benefit, you know? You could be misconstrued.
Yeah. True point, which is absolutely true. You know, Chris Jericho, who is a high-ranking official in AEW, also happens to produce and host the show. So, yeah, you know, you're going to get the stories that are going to make some of the WWE higher-ups look a little more evil than maybe they actually are, although, let's be honest, Vince is probably pretty evil anyway. Allegedly. But I mean, you know, so that's an absolutely correct thing that Stroh pointed out, is that they're not going to focus on, you know, whatever shitty thing Tony Khan might be doing, because that's, you know, he's not the money. He's the money behind the guy who's producing the show.
Right.
Totally get where you're coming from there. And the other thing, Brady, to your point is, in all reality, the industry is still basically a monopoly. AEW is doing its thing. Impact is doing its thing. You've got the indies. But if you really want to make the money and gain the fame, you still have to kiss Vince's ring. Mm-hmm. So you're
thankfully,
you're
getting, it's not his ass anymore. We've moved beyond that.
As of now, yeah. Yeah.
So the guys that you're going to get on that show are the guys you're going to get on that show are the ones that Vince was never going
to
sign anyway, or guys that,
or
you know, had already had
their
run. You know, Jim Ross doesn't need to worry about crawling back to WWE anytime, so he's just going to he'll say whatever he wants to say.
And here's the thing. So I have a third thing to that. It's very easy to pick on WWE because, first of all, there's no shortage of people that are willing to talk about them and the bad things that they do. Second of all, because you know they're not going to respond. You know, anybody that's under contract is not going to respond to Dark Side of the Ring and clarify anything. WWE is going to just tell them to ignore it and hope it goes away, in a best case. in a worst case, you'll get in trouble because you're not able to defend yourself. But the bottom line is WWE doesn't want anybody affiliated with them to be on there. How many people did they say that? From that plane ride episode alone, Brock Lesnar declined, Ric Flair declined. There were others too, who refused to be a part of
the episode. The wrestling fans are my family. I'm not going to be the person that's going to like disparage people that helped me along the way and all that. Yeah. I'm not going to be that person. You know what I mean?
So I'm
not all about that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there is such a strong familial feeling in a locker room, and this is, you know, are they doing it for a payday? Are they doing it for attention? Do they really want the story to get out? Like, it's a slippery slope. Speaking of slippery slopes, what happened with Charlotte?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
All roads lead to Charlotte.
But I mean, so, how crazy is that? The whole Charlotte thing. Like,
this is
little bit that I've read about it. It sounds to me like Charlotte is not only now buying into her own hype.
There it is.
She's buying into her family's hype. Honestly, like she's acting like she's the, you know, whatever 16-time world champion, jet flying, you know, limo riding son of a bitch. You know, and say what you will about Ric Flair, as we just did for 5 minutes, you know, he did earn that reputation. I kind of wonder, and I want to ask Stro, because you would obviously, you might have a little better knowledge on this. When it comes to your second generation, third generation, et cetera, I would think it's probably relatively common that, that maybe they try to ride the coattails of their predecessors or believe that hype a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the dangers that you're going to get into, especially when you're going to model her entire character. You know, you model her entire gimmick after the fact that she's Ric Flair's daughter.
Any second, third generation competitor will tell you there's so much pressure on them right out of the gate because they're their predecessor.
Yes.
And so, I mean, gosh, and they have to live with that each and every day. So I feel for any second, third generation.
And especially if you're the descendant of a legend, the level of Ric Flair,
like
the
Road
Boys, you know, I mean that's the pinnacle of pressure.
Well, we will talk about all this more, believe me, guys. And 914-338-1885, if you want to chime in yourself. Love to take calls and talk about Charlotte and everything going on behind the scenes with WWE. But right now, we don't care about WWE. You know, F them, man. F them.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, if you're declaring an emergency, there's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
We actually have a legitimate star in our midst here. We have the legend that is Joey Ace, the Salty Dog, the five-star stud, one of the featured performers not just for ECWA, but for Warriors of Wrestling as well, where he's the heavyweight champion. Joey, what's going on, my friend? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking. You hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. That is a beautiful belt you have there on that shoulder.
I know.
Showing it off
a little bit. Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah.
Isn't it lovely?
Look at that. Joey's been so nice.
I heard you guys talking about how you feel bad for second generation, third generation wrestlers. I don't. Not again. Oh, big problems. Ooh, you got to live up to an expectation.
I feel bad when you have a kid and they become a wrestler because they're going to have a hell of a reputation to live up to.
Oh, can you imagine?
My wife has already dated. My daughter is not a second generation anything. She is not allowed near the business.
That's funny. Well, Joey, so you have a huge match coming up with Eric Martin, I know, in about, I guess a little more than a week, probably about 10 days or whatever. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Little more than that. But, you know, at ECWA. And actually, I had the background. We'll switch it over. What are your thoughts kind of heading into ECWA, not this weekend, but next weekend?
Oh, the thoughts, man. It's real clear. It's real simple. It's just me going in there and me doing what I have to do. It's a grudge match. Well, ECWA wants to put it as it's a grudge match. I don't really think it's a grudge match, but that's just me. You know, that's just me. But I got to do it. I got to do what I got to do when I get step in a ring with Eric Moore. And truth be told, like, oh, the most personality I've ever seen him was in that promo he shot last week where he was like, I had like a string cord headphones and then he beat all my friends and he was living rent free. I was living rent free in his head. He was living rent free in my head, whatever the hell he said. Well, duh. You're going in, you're stepping in the ring, you're wrestling. I'm going up against you. Of course, you're living rent free in my head. I'm going to deal with you in a week and a half.
When you attack.
Also, Brady, I got.
Sorry. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, when you attacked Eric Martin at the last show, was that personal? What was the deal behind that?
No, he just got in my way.
Okay.
Look, man, I just simply wanted to just go out there for my match, and he bucked me.
Oh, really?
6'3", 200-something pounds. He bumped me. He bumped the little guy. Hey, man, I was just walking out to the ring. He beat up my boy, Mike.
Okay.
He beat up my boy, Mike. All I was doing was just, hey, I got a match to do. You know, I got a match to go wrestle. He bumps me. And then he got upset because I was trying to wipe something off of his face, trying to wipe off something in his face, and he got upset.
Just being polite.
Yeah, just being polite, bro.
You're looking out for him. I understand. Right. I get that. There are a lot of people, Joey, and this isn't me, but there are a lot of people who point out that you've really struggled the last couple months since losing the ECWA title to Mr. Ooh La La. You've lost rematches. You've just had a difficult go at it. Is this the beginning of a kind of redemption for Joey Ace?
I struggled. I struggled. What's around this shoulder right here? I struggled? Do I look like I struggled? Hey, you guys, does it look like I struggled? Does PWI look like I struggled? One to watch. The January issue, the women's top 150. Does it look like I'm struggling? No.
Fair enough.
Any other idiotic questions you have, Brady?
Wow, okay. I'm sure I could come up with a couple.
Go ahead, shoot, cowboy.
Why is it that you haven't been able to regain the ECWA heavyweight title then, if you're not struggling?
I clearly haven't had a shot. I haven't had a rematch. And that's not, you know, up to me. It's the ECWA executives, you know, that's Joe Zalone, the job. But he's always kind of like try to keep me out of the picture. Kept me out of the ECWA for almost 10 years until I showed up one day. So it's all him. But it's cool. It's fine. I'll deal with Eric Martin at Super Clash. And after that, let's see what happens.
And obviously you have a point. I mean, if you've got the Warriors of Wrestling title, maybe there is an element of politics with what's going on. How important do you think it was for them to have Mr. Ooh La La be the figurehead for the company for a little bit?
What, him be the figurehead? What, is he
Ooh La La
in the company?
Well, I mean,
he
might.
He's out there running shop. Well, let's see. Maybe he's the one ducking me because I think he is ducking me. But look, it won't matter if it comes to Super Clash. The ending of Super Clash, we might have a new champion. It could be a really good, you know, a very good professional wrestler coming out on top. And you know what? No sweat, because I've beat him too. So,
do you, Do you have a preference for who you'd rather face?
Why?
Just wondered.
I'm the faster. Why would I have a preference?
Oh, okay.
Go in there and do what I got to do. Simple as that.
Well, one of the listeners actually wants to know, what's your relationship with Mike Wall? Because you guys, you know, you were close there for a while. It seemed like you were feuding, and now you're kind of back together as of the last show. What's that relationship like?
Brothers fight. That's it. That's all you have to know. Brothers fight, and we make up. That's it. You could pick whatever
sense.
Allegiance you want. You could write about it. Exactly. You guys have siblings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. You guys fight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Do you always super kick your brother?
That's it. Of course. You've elbow dropped. I'm sure you've elbow dropped your brother. Sure
I super kicked my sister once.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're a scumbag.
Whoa. Jeez.
All right.
I mean, you know.
Are you rigging up in this show, Brady?
Fair enough. I'll be on commentary.
Like, you better duck once you introduce him. Like, just powder, would you say? You know, Joey Aiken, out.
I got super kicked to the last show, so that ain't happening again. I'm going to stay far away from the ring. I learned, Joey. I don't want to.
Man, I won't hit you.
Okay, fair enough. So, Joey, so you've got Eric Martin coming up November 6th, ECWA Super Clash. I can assume that you're going to win that match. What do you have planned beyond November 6th?
No, it's the Strollins at November 13th Warriors of Wrestling event, Intergender Warfare, with a win. That's it, with the win. Another W.
And then, like everyone else, Brady, he's got Thanksgiving with the family. I mean, you know, you
going
to grill the guy for his first calendar.
Yeah, what do you want, Brady? You want to be invited to Thanksgiving at Joey Ace's place?
Well, then you're offer? Okay. No. No, but I think what's really cool, you mentioned the article with PWI and the ones to watch. Mike Bessler did a fantastic job with it. I read the piece, and I was really happy for you. I was, because I think there aren't a lot of people that know about Joey Ace, certainly not enough that should know about you. And for those who aren't familiar, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and your background there.
Well, there's a podcast out. I forget the name of it. Taylor Seed something is on Twitter. I retweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of background if you really want to know about the five-star studs. But yeah, man, I've been doing this thing 13, going on 13 years. It is now when I'm starting to get that rub. You know, and that rub is me. That rub is me going out there and getting it done. So when there's articles out there also saying maybe I lost my stride or I lost momentum. No, I didn't lose any momentum. If anything, I've gained momentum. And I don't think one, you know, losing the World 1 ECWA Unified Championship on separate occasions, maybe it set me back, but look what it did. You know, it definitely relit that fire. Now, that's really it. If you want to know about me, maybe we should just do a separate interview. But I don't really want to give the fans or you guys that satisfaction right now.
Okay.
It's late. It's Tuesday night. Yeah.
Okay, so then you're telling me the rumors are not true. You are not a second-generation superstar. I just assumed you were the son of Johnny Ace. Nobody? We're going to no-sell that joke? All right.
It was pretty bad, to be fair.
Brady, if you don't mind, I would like to ask you a question, because he's going up against a pretty legitimate women's wrestler coming up at Intergender Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare for someone like Deonna Purrazzo?
Well, she just lost the AAA Women's Championship, did she?
The Impact, yeah. I know. Yeah.
Oh, was it the Impact? Yeah.
I know she lost the Impact.
It's more or less a... How do you get ready for
for someone who was who's ex-military is Steve Macklin. Yeah. The same way I get ready for everybody, baby. That's it.
I got a few
tricks up the sleeve. So.
Okay. I found it interesting. You know, we were talking about momentum, and, you know, you're talking about how – I don't remember the exact words that you said, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but along the lines of, like, people say you're struggling, and maybe I even did that, but – the truth is you got a title belt and the momentum continues to roll for you and it's certainly trending upward again. I think the mistake that a lot of people make, Joey, is because you've main evented for so long and there's such a track record of success now for a couple years in ECWA. I mean, the last two Super 8s prior to this one ended with you winning the title, you know? So mm-hmm. I think – when you're not winning the title or when you're not in the main event or when you're not closing out a show, I think people kind of say that that's where that lack of momentum, when they say that, that's where that comes from, I think. How do you respond to that?
Well, the last ECWA show, what happened? Another W from study. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I'm opening. It doesn't matter if I'm the end. It doesn't matter if I'm in the middle. I'm the main event, no matter where you slice it. And the Super 8 is synonymous with the Super 8 tournament. 2 years hasn't. It's been me. It's been the main event. It's been for the ECWA Big Red. It hasn't been about the tournament. They tried so hard to never stop the tournament. And that's really pushed. Because, yes, it is. It's a prestigious tournament. But I made it a prestigious tournament around the main event and around the ECWA video. And we haven't gotten there yet. But I'm sure enough, Super Clash, I am the main event. Rolling into 2022, when we go into that Super 8, then I will be the main event.
Okay, fair enough. And I have no doubt when you say it, generally you deliver on what you say. One of the fans actually wants to know when we're going to see you running with Santana and Ortiz again in AEW.
That remains to be seen.
Okay.
That remains to be seen. And none of us are second-generation superstars.
Yeah. So there's nothing special about a second-generation star? They're just somebody who was born into the right family?
You know, there's... come on, we're going to... Let's go to that. Let's go back to that for a second.
Yeah.
You guys don't think there's a certain level of nepotism in professional wrestling?
No, for sure. For sure.
Some people get born.
It's a massive level of them.
Like, you get born into something and then bam, just because you have so and so's name or last name or junior at the end of it, that you're destined for this big superstardom, and then you watch them and it's just not there. That spark isn't there.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the spunk. That's
like
for sure.
Like, it's handed to them.
Yeah.
And look, don't get me wrong. There is hard work. Everyone works extremely hard. But when you really look at it, does it translate in TV, on TV? Let's be real.
But and it could be that they're working really hard.
Guys
but
watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could work really hard, but are you working smart?
Sure. And not only that.
From the beginning.
Yeah, and not only that, but like it kind of looks like the second generation star is working extra hard or whatever, but you're not really focusing on what any other performer would be doing to get ready. How are they working hard, you know? Joey, I know you're training, what, 5, 6, 7 nights a week, right, in the ring?
And right now, these days, it's about 2, 3.
Okay, well, you could have made yourself sound,
you know, 2, 3 in the gym, about 6, you know?
Okay,
no,
fair
no,
enough.
It's the truth, like, Come on. Yeah. Like, look, am I going to let go? Oh, yeah, I train 7 days a week. No, I don't. I'm not in the ring 7 days a week. And if I was, I'd be beat up. Do I go in there 2-3 times a week and kill myself in cardio drills? Yes. Do I hit the weights? Yes. Do I have a different style of training? Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do I have another job? Yes.
All right, but I mean, do you think that you don't see how maybe being a, you know, a second generation or third generation star can potentially be a hindrance even to somebody? I mean, you know, let's be honest. The most popular guy in the industry is a third generation star, and you know, I don't think The Rock was handed his spot. I think he did something pretty special. You know, and I think it would have been easy for some of these guys that have bigger last names than Johnson. I mean, obviously Rocky Johnson was big for his time, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't the super mega star that his son became. But I mean, you know, look, I mean, Dustin Rhodes, if he doesn't deliver when he debuts in the early 90s, you know, that would have been real easy for him to lose his spot. But thankfully, he happened to be a pretty intense in-ring tactician. I mean, never—I don't know if he had a whole lot in the. He never really delivered for me too much in the personality until Goldust. But you know, I mean, yeah. the guy worked hard. I think if you roll in there with that last name or that even that attachment, sometimes I think that could be a hindrance if you're not willing to put the work in.
I think it could go one of two ways. Flip a switch, and you try to go in a direction that they didn't go in, that your family did not go in, and you tap into that to make your own way. And I think there's no expectation of family when you do that. So, and then there's the other way where you know, you take on the name, you take on the likeness of whether your uncle, your father, your whoever. And then you go that way, and maybe in your mind try to live up to this expectation that really you set this bar up so high because everyone else is coming at you because you have to live up to this expectation. So then it's just a detriment to that person, and it limits that person. And you can almost see it when they're performing in the ring, when they're going at it. So I think that's it. In the cases now, I think I don't know what you guys were talking about with Charlotte, but like, I think she's amazing. I think she's carved her own way. So there's no expectation of what her father did. No one's gonna compare, even though it's easy to do that. I don't think there isn't a comparison. The Rock, it totally isn't a comparison to what his family did the generations before that.
That's true.
There's none. He went in a different, completely different route where this guy is making money hand over fist, endorsement, Under Armour. We got the water. We got the energy drink.
That's the dealer.
Yeah, movies, all of these things. So he just went in a completely different route. Now,
sure,
I know that his daughter is there, you know, in NXT, and she probably thinking of ways in her mind probably go in a different direction than what her father did, but taking a blueprint of it going. So, but that's my take on it.
No, and you're right. I think that having a parent or a grandparent who was a star, I think it opens the door, but your talent is really what carries you. You know, Charlotte and, like you said, The Rock, and Randy Orton is another one, you know, who, like, totally different than his father and on such a whole different level than him. But for every one of them, there's a Ted DiBiase Jr. or a Curtis Axel. You know, there's other second-gen stars who were able to do nothing, you know, essentially, because they weren't in it like their parents were, and that's for sure. Joey, one of the listeners, and I keep getting these listener questions, which is great. One of the listeners wants to know if you're that guy in ECWA, if you're that stepping stone, that measuring, like when somebody comes in, are you the guy that they're targeting?
I don't feel like there's been a person yet that's come in at UCWA and I've been the guy to like, oh, okay, like to step in the ring with. Maybe it's someone's goal when they come in, but they haven't put that person or whoever they got to the test yet. And I think the only one, perhaps, while I've been there, has been Avery Good. That
I was going to mention him, yeah.
Yeah, that came in and was like, all right, let's go, let's rock and roll. To be honest, the match stipulation, I didn't like. If I could look back on it, no. Like, I want him straight up next time. If there is a next time, I want him straight up. But to answer that question, the closest one is him.
I'm sure there will be a next time for sure, Joey. And it seems like you're still one of the most well-respected and well-liked. And honestly, in spite of how you're sometimes a rule breaker, you're one of the more popular guys on the show, I think. I think that fans really enjoy what you bring to the table. And I think that that's really a degree of respect in a way, you know, that you could be the bad guy, but that everybody knows that you definitely have something to offer for them. And I think that's really telling. And the fact that you're a top star in Warriors of Wrestling as well, I think it's really telling. Joey, what do you have coming up? I know you mentioned June 6th is ECWA Super Clash. June 13th, Warriors of Wrestling with the Intergender.
June?
November. November, I'm sorry. I do that all the time.
Brady's your agent. He got bookings for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He's got June. Shut up.
I was in September saying November, so it's nothing. I'm a mess.
Right after that, November 21st, not that. The weekend after that, I know it hasn't been just yet confirmed, but there's something there in New Jersey. And then the weekend after that, I think it's Warriors of Wrestling and again. Then the weekend after that, I got to get you there as a date. There's something else in Jersey, Richfield Park. But those haven't been completely confirmed, and I haven't announced that one yet.
Okay. Well, if people want to...
It sounds like it's going to be a busy few weeks coming up for Joey. I guess you could say it's going to be a November to remember.
To remember. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of ECW, go ahead. I'll ask you.
Go ahead. I know what you're
I was going to ask. Speaking of ECW, I totally forgot. I forgot to include that in my notes. So you wrestled Tommy Dreamer recently. What was that experience like?
Yes, I did. It was amazing. Come on, I'm in there with the Innovator of Violence. Yes, I know, the big elephant in the room, right, where Dark Side of the Ring and this and that. Look, at first, I'm going to be honest, I was like, wait a minute. I'm in there with this guy. How is this going to affect me? But then I thought about it, and I thought about it alone. I didn't go to anyone for advice or any – I thought about it. And, look, you guys could disagree with me or not, and it's cool. But we live in a country where there's a freedom of speech. And I don't think one should be canceled and their whole life destroyed because of freedom of speech. On that note, not condoning anything that happened. No, hell no. You don't do that. You don't at all. But it's kind of like we kind of fall under this thing in the entertainment. There's different things, and it's crazy. Has anyone seen the Dave Chappelle Netflix special?
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Like, he jokes around. He gets us laughing, you know, but there's a thing that's like, come on, like, we're going to cancel people for whatever. But look, anyway, the situation with him was very different. And, you know, I'm not, like, I feel for the woman that what happened, things like that, it shouldn't happen at all. But also, like, with TV production, everything, like, know what you say, watch what you say, and how you say it, because it will get edited, and, you know, to fit a certain narrative, you know? And that's what it was. And, you know, it sucks for everybody involved, because people lose money and people, you know, and their livelihood, and it sucks. Everybody involved, right? So that's how I feel on that, how I felt going into the match with him. It was amazing. It was 50-something years old for doing it for so long, and man is sharp, and I felt like he was sharper than me. But, yeah, it was great to be in there, to hear, you know, Alex and James Black in the building. You know, it felt like it was my Elks Lodge, you know. It was cool. But then again, he went down to the elbow drop. So, yeah. He came and tried to take my title, and that wasn't happening. So,
okay.
Again, 5 stars above the rest. Still Warriors of Wrestling heavyweight champ. And, yeah, momentum. Back to what you were saying, Brady. I lost momentum. I am losing momentum. If anything, I gained going right into Super Clash. All the momentum in the world, baby.
I like it. Joey, if people want to keep tabs with you, what you got going on, what's your social media like?
Social media. Instagram's at JoeyAce88. My Twitter is at JoeyAce1988. And then you can catch me on Facebook, JoeyAce. If you don't request me as a friend, you can follow me. But those are all three.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the time, Joey, and I can't wait to see you on November 6th. It's going to be a great time, and I can't wait to see you.
I don't want to see you November 6th.
Oh, come on. I thought we were boys. You're my poppy. You're poppy.
How much is this super kick,
he's
Brady?
He's just playing
like,
a role.
Go fund me?
This guy plays so many roles.
You saw how I got kicked. You don't want to see that happen again. That was bad. So.
Nah, man. You play so many roles, Brady.
For sure. You wear a lot of masks.
You play this good guy. You play this bad guy. You know, you ask me crazy questions, then you ask me these personal questions, and I don't know how to feel around.
I just try to mix it up. Just trying to.
Just feel just the love, to, Joey. Feel the love.
Peel the layers, you know. Peel the layers.
Do you guys feel that way about him too?
We're new.
We've known him for a long time. Yeah, we've known Brady for years. We go way back.
Yeah. Yeah, so he likes to flip coins. He's just like, all right.
He's a cleaner.
Yeah.
He's always working. He's always working an angle.
Yep. He's a wizard.
Yeah.
You're the man, Joey. Thank you for the time.
No, you're the man. You're the poppy.
I love you, brother. All the time.
Thank you.
You're the man. I'll talk to you, Joey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
And you guys, be sure to check out Joey on social media as well. I will put up links to all that stuff with the show description as well. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, and on the other side, we will open the four phone lines. Cheryl, I see we got Tora on there, so that'll be fun. 914-338-1885. It's in the room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Be right back.
This is the Swifter, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cazzy Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Wrestling.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and
Two good friends.
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Joey, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs, yeah, you get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, right here live on VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks, we've got Papa Stro, we've got Patrick Hackett, we've got Kevin Brady. Wow. Should we call him the Tasmaniac?
If I let you.
You're slightly more intimidating than the real Taz. We got Kevin Brady as Taz. Check it out on the YouTube page. We are also welcoming back Derek McDonald to the program. Well, what have you been doing, Derek? How are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. My man cave is just about done, so I should be able to join you guys on video in the next week or two. So that'll be fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
Awesome.
I can't wait. And speaking of joining you, I'm kind of quickly becoming what a lot of you guys have become, like you, Derek, and I got engaged this weekend, so
right.
Nellie and I are
right.
Set to,
yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
If she doesn't, I mean, already we're fighting, so who knows how long that'll last.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Well, you know, I had the bike stolen off my porch, so I was yelling everything that I shouldn't have yelled tonight, so. It's all good. It's all good. 91433. Not like really bad stuff, but you know, I was pretty mad. So, and I didn't want to hear anything positive. So, 914-338-1885. Before we jump back in, Stro, what do you got? Now that you took a sip, what do you got going on this week?
Big week. Thursday night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSCondition.com. We're having a special Halloween special, and we're also continuing the What If scenario, so if you guys want to call in, have some fun. Thursday night, feel free. Friday night, my Hard Sci-Fi Show, the Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature for Friday night will be Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein from back in the day.
Such a good movie.
Yes, I'm really excited to showcase
often
that.
Often unheralded.
Saturday, I'm going to this premiere. Red carpet premiere of a film that I'll be starring in called The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Origin Story, which I star as Dr. Arkham in that particular film. And it'll be at the Golden Ticket Cinema's Twin Theater in Lenoir, North Carolina.
Okay.
And proceeds will be going to Grace's Hands, who helps out people that deal with domestic violence.
Okay.
For Grace Mullins.
Very good.
And then the next day, the film will be released on social media, so their Facebook page. facebook.com/realdevilsdaughter. So once they release the link, I'll forward it to you guys so you can check it out.
Awesome.
It amazes me how busy you keep yourself. I don't know how you do it.
Me neither.
Like, I do this show, and I'm pretty...
way too much.
Yeah. Like, I do this show, and I'm pretty much... Like, this is my week. Like, I got nothing else going on this week, so... I'm only kidding, of course. But, yeah, so 914-338-1885. Dustin, I see you're on the line, and I promise you're up first. Just give us 1 minute here. We were talking about Charlotte. And I just real quick wanted to wrap that up because we kind of dove right into the interview. But Charlotte apparently is developing this god-awful reputation backstage in WWE. And it's a shame. It's crazy to think how much WWE loves the Flairs. And, like, you know, everything was Flair this and Flair that and, like, part of their legacy. Even when it wasn't, like, revisionist history tells us that Ric Flair was in WCW, so he was part of WWE, right? That's part of the genius of this whole thing. But, yeah, no Ric, and now Charlotte is at odds. It's crazy. Derek, I got to start with you. What do you think about all this?
It's weird because, you know, the Internet, they hate Charlotte. So she's finally given them a reason other than, you know, them booking her to win as many titles as she's won. She's finally given them a reason not to like her. I hear people going, oh, you know, she's trying to get out the company and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
that's my
wasn't
thought.
Wasn't it just a month ago where Rick was saying she'll never leave, she loves it there, they treat her, you know, like a queen, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't think she's trying to get out. I think she knows where her standing is in that company. They said she doesn't like creative, you know, something along the lines of she wanted to drop the belt to Bianca, and they said no. So I think she's trying to kick up some dust, cause some problems, and maybe see some change. I don't know. It's I'm not backstage, so I hate to, like, try to guess. And, you know, Becky doesn't seem like the most likable person either. So I can see how
dare you.
Everybody loves her, though. I mean, from what I was reading, they've called her a damn hero in the locker room.
The patron saint of Ireland herself.
Well, I mean, it's well documented. I hate Becky. I hate the promo she cut. I think the best thing that happened to her career was Nia Jax punched her in the face, and she got out of that match with Ronda Rousey.
What kind of monster are we bringing on here?
We're just talking about how you need to be – yeah. You must also eat Irish potatoes and whiskey.
I mean, I hate Conor McGregor, if you want to be honest. I mean, he's
very hateable.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
I mean, look.
Nothing
like Becky Two Belts.
I mean, my name is Derek McDonald. They called me the Black Irishman when I was in college. I think I'm entitled to have these takes, aren't I?
I thought they called you Roy G. Bibb.
That too, yeah. Every day, every time.
Roy G. Bibb.
But yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead. Yeah. Do you think there's a chance that WWE leaked this just to make people hate Charlotte more? Like, just because she gets such...
What do they get out of
anyway? Because people are going to hate her even more, and they're going to talk about her and continue to watch her. That's how WWE thinks. I don't know.
There's definitely a leak there. There's definitely a leak because more prevalent than it ever has, the stuff that gets out backstage.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot.
That's because people are unhappy.
The cynic in me thought, well, the next pay-per-view is Survivor Series. You got to do Charlotte and Becky unless one of them drops the title. You know, they love doing the we screwed Brett thing at Survivor Series. So a part of me is thinking, I wonder if they're building this up for Survivor Series so people can actually care for a Charlotte-Becky match. But I don't know. It's so much stuff leaking out. Or Charlotte. Like, I saw a report that goes, people close to Charlotte want her to get out of her contract. And I'm thinking, by people close to her, do you mean Andrade, her boyfriend? what are we talking about? It's just so weird how much information.
You know, her dad doesn't want her to leave. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Rick understands.
Yeah.
If Becky slaps on the figure four late in that match, you should probably start watching the ref.
It is pretty crazy. You know, I would.
Then they'll go to commercial.
I would hope that the referee would not go into that match with predetermined ideas about who's going to go in and win, like he did against, like Earl Hebner did against Brett. You know, I just hate to see guys lose legitimate matches by fraud. I hate that.
Brady, what just happened?
I didn't come back from Bret Hart's slit.
All right, I'm not here for the Bret Hart bashing. Not to Barry.
It's all real to me, damn it. I'm just playing, of course. Let's go to the phones. You guys are gonna have fun with this one. We have all the way from Orlando. Orlando,
yes.
Right? We have Dustin.
Yes.
What's up, pal? How you doing?
Doing good.
Dustin, I was thinking about you because Seth Rollins won the number one contender the other night. You got to be stoked.
No, I'm not, actually.
Why?
Giving that work.
You're not. I was like, oh hell no.
Why?
Big E's the champion. I don't want Big E losing.
Well, he's not, so you're okay.
I thought you hated Big E.
No.
Yeah. What's happening here? Yeah, you did. You
didn't
old,
he
you
used
did
to hate
your
Big
clown.
E?
Yeah. Yeah, you hated everything about
him.
Well,
he's a clown.
All of a sudden.
He's a clown champion.
Dustin just updated his relationship status to it's complicated with Seth Rollins.
Yes.
Oh man, we missed you, Dustin. How you doing?
Good. Honestly, you know, when Becky returned to win title, and then they had this title switch thing, which the company put themselves in that situation. It's stupid.
It is.
What is stupid? It is stupid.
Well, with the title switch.
They should have just had them switch titles backstage and act like that was the belts that they had all along. That's what they should have done. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Or they put themselves in that position.
He's right. I mean, the company did put themselves in this situation when they wrote the storyline.
You know what they should do, Dustin? They should just make two purple women's belts because it's red and blue, you know, and then just they each have a purple belt. Then it doesn't matter.
Well, Brady, here's the thing. There should be one woman's title.
For all those women? They have a lot of women.
Yeah, for both divisions, there should be one champion.
So no tag team champions?
Well, no, I'm talking about the singles title. Like there should be one women's title for the women's division, like for both brands.
Okay.
Like one champion.
So what? So
I actually agree with this guy. I hate the idea of separate Raw and SmackDown champions. I just think the whole brand has been the dumbest shit ever. Just, you know, let's have everyone compete for everything on every show. You know, the brand split does nothing but limit your product. Right.
Well,
you're limiting your options.
And upsets your networks who you're answering to now.
And they've taken ideas from us in the past. I always thought what they should have done. Derek, I think you agreed with me. It should just be a soft brand split, you know? These are the wrestlers that are on Raw this month. Next month after the pay-per-view, we're going to mix it up. And, like, we don't need, you know, they're already moving people that are in feuds to a different brand to continue their feud, which is absolutely stupid. I don't think that there should be set rosters. I think it should be I tune into Raw, this is who I'm going to see, and next month it might be different.
How it was prior to this whole brand split draft idea, it was if you turned on SmackDown, you were just as likely to see The Rock as you were Stone Cold. Same for Raw. I mean, you know, if you want, and look, this all comes down to internal booking. You can book the show without having a brand split to make sure that, you know, the two networks that are hosting your main shows are getting a fair split. You know, you can book it where, Seth Rollins is going to be the main fixture on Raw this week and Brock Lesnar on SmackDown this week, and then next week, just flip it around, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But instead, you put these artificial barriers up, and it becomes a situation where it's like, well, now Seth Rollins can only feud with Roman Reigns or whoever, because those are the only big names you have on the show.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's on what show.
Well, pretty good.
Or you break up an established tag team and then make a makeshift tag team with two guys that weren't teaming. It's stupid. It's dumb.
One of these times, my priorities are going to be makeshift tag team.
Yeah,
and
for
how
sure.
much I love them.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, I mean, sometimes
God, I love
good.
Makeshift tag teams.
Sometimes
hey, Dennis, you got Snickers bar? You'll be here a while.
What's up, Chris?
One of the greatest tag teams of all time. Raquel Gonzalez loose tonight.
That's pretty makeshift.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was shocked to see Raquel Gonzalez lose the title.
Wow. That's a cool moment they did.
Did
I was going with Dakota Kai.
Now, did Mandy Rose take off her brown wig?
No. Dakota Kai was in a costume, hit her with a shovel, did the whole thing. It was cool.
Okay, see,
I watched it in the break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah, I was shocked.
Justin,
I didn't think it was going to happen.
You were there when Dakota Kai won the title, weren't you?
No, you mean Raquel?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I was there when Raquel won the belt, but no, I haven't been
since.
That's
what I said. Okay.
It's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you friends with the little Bailey girl that's now making life hell for workers?
Yeah, poor MSK.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Well, he shouldn't have choke slammed her.
It should be an 11-year-old.
We did an indie show years ago, and Ratboy, the caller, I know he sounds big and tough. This guy is scrawny and short, and he's exactly what you'd expect. Yeah, you know who he looks like? He looks like Blue from Old School. That's who he looks like.
Yeah, I saw that. He posted a picture.
He does. So he took a choke slam from a 7-foot-tall wrestler, and he broke his shoulder. Dustin, who would have thought that would happen?
I don't know.
Have we learned nothing from that strand?
So, Brady, so next week, Bianca Blair's fighting Becky for the title. What do you think's going to happen with that?
So it's Bianca Blair versus
Becky? Becky for the title. It's for the title.
Yeah.
Obviously, the greatest woman wrestler of all time, the president of Ireland, the only woman to have 6 belts at one time, Rebecca Lynch, will be...
Rebecca Quinn Lynch.
Oh, Rebecca Quinlan show. Sorry, I forgot.
Brady, it's Rebecca Lopez. She's married to Seth Rollins.
You know what? Well,
what?
Rebecca Lopez.
No.
Are you sure about that?
Lynch.
Yeah.
She better hold.
Yeah.
She better hold.
Does that make her Rebecca
Rollins.
Black?
No, dude. Well, that's ironic, isn't it? She better hope Ronda Rousey shows back up, because that's the only time she's even remotely interested is when Ronda's around. So,
Smothers. Colby Smothers.
I mean, Ronda Rousey
like
makes
that,
everyone look interesting by comparison. So.
Okay. Yeah.
You saw her last
I don't
Smothers,
know,
baby?
I don't know, Dustin.
No, seriously, she's married to Seth Rollins. They got married back in August.
What?
No.
Were you invited?
Get out of here.
Wait a minute.
Really?
But they got married back in August, but wait a minute, that kid was born last December.
Yeah, they got married. They got married in August. Yeah, Rob Horton returned.
Are they living in sin?
Is that a bastard?
Oh, no. Oh, these
big nasty bastards.
They had
Mama
a pot.
Said so.
They had a pot.
Seriously,
wait a minute. I don't know, because Bianca Belair is married to Montez Ford. Her last name isn't Bianca Ford.
Yeah.
Are you sure about this?
Bianca Ford's a
I'm just saying, you know.
It's a very good stage name, though, to get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bianca Ford. Give it up for Bianca.
Now on the main stage.
Oh, one more thing, Brady. I wanted to mention before I get off here. They split the women's tag team division has no tag teams now. They split up the tag teams and then they get the titles to Rhea Ripley and
you had me at get off. I missed your point. What was that?
Well, they split up the tag team. They split up.
He's
the
getting off
team.
In the women's tag team division. Is what I'm saying.
They split up the women's tag team.
And the draft. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And there's no one for Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross to defend the titles against. They split all the teams.
Well, they're a makeshift tag team. They could fight anybody.
Yeah. Makeshift tag team.
Yeah, and they could take on Trish Stratus and Carmella. Who knows?
No.
Anybody. It's all up for grabs.
Next thing you know, Carmella's probably married to somebody. I don't know what this guy is talking about.
You know, Dustin.
Is she married to Big Cass?
Dustin, I had a really good one for you. I got to mention before we let you go. So I was watching the Beth Phoenix documentary on because I couldn't sleep last night. So I was watching the Beth Phoenix thing on Peacock. No. I mean, I did fall asleep, but I saw most of it. But Dustin left. Oh, damn it. I was going to ask him if he knew that Santino Marella didn't actually speak with an Italian accent. I had no idea.
By the way, all the controversy about Chris Pratt providing the voice for Super Mario in the upcoming Super Mario movie, I ask you this. Why didn't they cast Santino in a live action?
Oh, wow.
That would have been amazing. Voiceover work, you know, that would have been great.
It's a me, Santino.
So we were talking about... We were talking about Bianca Ford, which would be amazing. Patrick, you wanted to talk tonight about wrestling names.
Oh, man, did I ever want to talk about wrestling names. It's all because of I think it's mostly the guys who come out of New England who get renamed that upset me. Like, when I look at D-Jack and all of a sudden he's T-Bar, and I'm like, he had a perfectly good name. And
yeah.
Carmelo Hayes is fine. Carmelo Hayes is fine. But, like, Christian Casanova, that pops. My dude Anthony Green gets signed.
I mean, that's a very 80s name, Christian Casanova.
August Gray. Right.
August Gray.
Like, I love him,
you're
by the way.
You're going to the name Gray?
Yeah.
Like, and it's all this whole Braun Breaker thing. Like, why? Why are you going away from Steiner? Why do you think that taking Matt Riddle's first name away is not going to lead to Google searches about Matt Riddle? Like, if you're that upset about the stuff that he's done.
And why is Bobby Lashley not Robert Franklin Lashley? Like, that would be an amazing gimmick.
Robert Franklin Lashley?
I would imagine a lot of it has to do with them protecting their brands, right? I mean,
you give them this shitty name,
and if you build this shitty name up, then when they go to AEW and get a better name, they're still known. Yeah. But you know, John Moxley, what was he in the
Dean Ambrose, which is a terrible name,
right? But that's the name everyone knows him by.
I still call him that. I can't remember John Moxley half the time. It's
I just like their ability to name things. It should be so much easier than this, and they botch it. Now, Bianca Belair, that's a good
name. Some of them are funny. That's a good name. But some of them are funny. Like Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan. Or Daniel Bryanson. See, when he went to AEW, they should have called him Daniel Bryanson. It would have been funny, and it would have been a neat little nod, you know, and they could have owned the name. Somebody actually corrected me. Bobby Lashley's name is Franklin Roberto Lashley. I apologize about that, Franklin.
Why? What is against first names in this company? Why can't people have first names or two names?
I don't know.
Now, heck, you want to talk about some dumb names. So, you know, for my topic, I was doing a little research today, and I was watching a match that featured the Authors of Pain.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah, no, not the tag team name doesn't bother me.
They should have had the
fact
that
two guys are named Occam and Razor.
Akam. Yep.
And then they go with. They take the War Raiders and name them after a Los Angeles Angels utility player as Eric and Ivar. For Eric Ivar. Come on, man.
And how many times, if you remember when they came up to the main roster, how many times did they change their names before they settled on? It was like the Viking Raiders. It was the Viking Experience. It was the Raider Experience. It was, there were so many.
Braun Breaker.
The Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Los Angeles Raiders.
The day that Braun Breaker debuted, right, that morning he was still Rick Steiner. And then, like, 3 hours before the show started, they changed his name to Braun Breaker. So that shows you how last minute these name changes are.
And it's such a dumb name. Again, it's such a dumb name. Like, it's one thing if you come up with a badass name,
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, sometimes when they have it long enough, you get used to it. Like, Seth Rollins, yeah, for me, was, like, just sounded so generic when he took it. And I was like, you know, I mean, come on. That's,
well, I mean, you
that's
look at the name.
Colby Lopez. It, come on. You know?
It was always going to be Roman that was, like, he got the name. Like,
well,
yeah. It's Roman Reigns.
I hate his name. I hate his name.
Really?
You
Roman Reigns? No, I hate the
I
name.
Like it.
I hate the name. I think it's stupid.
They were
it just sounds like,
Yankee.
I don't know. Like, I
got
just see him, like, jacking his fist all the time, and it's like, I don't know.
No, I don't like, no, I don't like that at all.
That's not his name. That's not his kind of name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we screen cap with what Brady was just doing? Or,
he should feel like
meme?
This when he's done.
I mean, that's, he's just begging to be gift.
Yeah. There's a really funny one with where Vince is, like, sitting in the chair, and Roman's going like this, and Vince is like, It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, no, but sometimes the names are stupid, and sometimes you know, the one that really bugs me is, like, I don't understand how the Dudley Boys could be the Dudley Boys for, what was it, 7-8 years together? And then they go to WWE. It probably wasn't even that long. But they go to WWE, and now WWE owns their name that they've been using all that time. And
when
now when they leave, they got to change their names?
Is that because Vince owned WCW? I mean, ECW, is that what it was?
Or
I think it probably
was. No, I think it was probably part of signing them to the contract to bring them on. They probably should have held the name the Dudley Boys if they wanted to, but at the time they brought them in, they didn't have exactly many options other places to go.
Which is why some people, you know, want to change their name just in case. Or, like, in the case of Ricochet, I imagine Ricochet has some trademarks on his name.
Probably.
If not, you can always go back
and
to
the And it depends,
promo.
You know? I mean, if times were different, like, let's say now they sign AJ Styles, maybe they wouldn't have called him AJ Styles in 2021. I don't know.
I was wondering if he was going to get a different name. I imagine
you know?
Have to fight for that.
CM Punk is another one. Like, when he was with WWE, it's like, because people still don't even know what CM stands for. I'm shocked. Or EC3 is another one. Like, you know, the name has a context outside of WWE, I don't understand why they're the ones that get to keep their names.
It must be part of negotiations.
I think
when you're as big a name as CM Punk was when they signed him, he probably has that.
Yeah.
But the guy that surprises me is Eric Young. How has he been in, like, every company as Eric Young? That's not his name.
Is that his real name? That's not his name?
Not his real name. I just double-checked it. It's Jeremy something.
Fritz.
I love you,
Jeremy Fritz.
Yeah, that's right. He's, Sorry, Derek, were you saying something?
No, I was just saying, I was agreeing. I think if you have a big name before you get there, I think that's when they let you keep it. Kind of like, you know, you can't call Samoa Joe anything else but Samoa Joe because that's what people know him as. So I think it'd be hard to bring
like,
him.
Like the King Harley Race.
Yeah, right? Well, Vince Piper, he's in that rinky dink NWA. But yeah, it's kind of hard.
To call him Hawaiian Giuseppe.
To change his name. I mean, look,
I think what Derek's saying is correct. Part of it is, how much can Vince profit off of your name by keeping it what it is versus having ownership of it? So, like, you know, if you're coming in as an established name, then sure, you can keep your name because I'm going to profit off of Ric Flair while I have Ric Flair. Steve Flair, I'm not going to call him as high.
I mean, okay, so like Samoa Joe, for example, like, he got let go by WWE, but they brought him right back. We don't know if he's allowed to be called Samoa Joe when he leaves, do we? CM Punk got let go. They fired CM Punk. I would imagine he can take that name. Like, I heard Daniel Bryanson didn't want to change his name, or he wanted to change his name. Daniel Bryanson wanted to change his name because he could retain it when he left WWE.
WWE, they didn't refer to him as the American Dragon, right? Because he didn't want to go by that in WWE because that was his name, you know, on the indie circuit.
Yeah.
And he came in when they were changing everybody's name. That's when Moxley became Ambrose and, you know,
Tyler Black became Seth Rollins. So he was kind of, you know, Cesaro had to change his name from Claudio Castagnoli. So he
Cesaro
was
lost
proper guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in when they were changing all those guys' names. So he had the, you know, he had the, he thought, you know, I'm not going to let them keep it if I go in, so let me just play the game. And when he came in, they changed everything about him. Like, I'm pretty sure now he probably still gets stops in airports and people still call him Daniel Bryan. And he's wrestling on TV as Bryan Danielson again.
Oh, yeah.
I still call him that. I can never remember his name half the time. He's Daniel Bryan now. Come on.
Mr. Bella.
Yeah, well, I mean, so he's a guy that was coming, you know, he was coming in. He's an interesting case because he was coming in as a superstar on the indie circuit, but the mainstream didn't know Daniel Bryan.
He's too small.
Or Bryan Danielson or, you know, whatever freaking one it was. You know, and but WWE built him up with that other name, and then suddenly, you know, everybody knows the, you know, the yes gif is all over the internet. So everybody knows him just for that.
Which is, does WWE have rights to that? Because that
nobody
seems to be
owns
a point of concern. No, I know that. Thank you.
You can't own gifs.
Well, like, he's saying, he's being very coy, like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, let's see what the fans do on their own. That's something I used to do. And I'm like, they definitely own that. And
certainly.
Like,
certainly.
I saw an interview where he said they asked him not to do it. So the fact that they asked him not to do it, I wonder if they don't own it. And they're just like, come on. You know, because he seems like a good enough guy.
Wants that Hall of Fame payday.
I was about to say, when this AEW contract's up in a couple of years, you know he's headed back. So he probably just wants to be nice with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I mean, like, what,
sorry. Go ahead.
You know, with Kurt Angle, when he went to TNA, it couldn't be, it's true, it's damn true. It had to go, it's real, it's damn real.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always little tweaks like that. I think everybody wants to make it their own when they... when they get the person. Stro, with WWE, I mean, obviously, you weren't there, but, you know, as a part of WCW, did they kind of impress on you that you should change your name, or was that, like, something that you kind of preemptively did?
No, that was something, because actually when I arrived in WCW, I was still known as Gorgeous George the Third.
Right, yeah. They all called you George, and, didn't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you got to tell the Scott Hall story when you're done. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, the Maestro deal was something that, you know, I worked out in a meeting with Eric Bischoff.
Okay.
And it's fun. Oh, the Scott Hall story. Okay, here we go. So I'm in the office, right? I'm in the office,
funny.
You know, this is when I first started with the company, right? And I'm in the office of these agents, and here comes Hall Nash walking in, and Scott and I – tagged in Memphis back when USWA had a working relationship with WWE, and he was Razor Ramon, and we had got the tag together. And first thing Scott said was, him and Hall walked. I mean, Nash walked in and saw me. He said, "Hey George, how you doing, buddy? Remember we used to beat up Lawler in Memphis?" And all the agents like looked at me and said, "That was you, of course." Oh my God!
That's funny. That's really funny. Let's go to Rat Boy. What's going on, Rat Boy?
No.
Yeah, you got to take these calls. That's the lifeblood.
It sure is, I just changed my name. It's not Rat Boy no more. It's not Rat.
You are formerly known as.
I'm a Radishure. Radishure.
Where is the big rat?
We had a couple
I'm
of
the Radishure now. The Radishure. I'm a bad guy. Radishure.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're a mess.
Guy?
Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon.
No, I'm not sure, and I'm a bad guy, and I'm coming to ECW to get what I deserve. And another thing, Mr. Ooh-la-la is going to go home with a lot of toilet paper up his butt.
You did it wrong. You say, I'm rat a sore ass, and I'm going to give you a sore ass when you get in the ring with me.
Good Lord.
La-la.
That's a good one. Bradley, we have Taz here. You want to talk to Taz?
Yeah, talk to Taz.
Taz.
Taz meets Spaz.
Talk to him about
what's wrong. Taz, ECW, Taz, Spaz.
Earlier,
we were talking about Mrs. Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, Mrs.
Okay.
Charlotte Flair.
Oh, I forgot.
She's looking like, you ready? She's looking like Cher now.
Don't attack her on personal appearance. What are you doing?
Nobody talks about you and your 50-year-old arms.
That's an insult that you look like a chair?
Bradley, you put up a picture this week, and I know it was a little older. Derek, he put up a picture of himself and the Hulkster lovingly in each other's arms.
Oh, you're still doing the Hulk Hogan thing?
What did the Hulkster tell you, Rat Boy?
That's right, brother. Me and Hulk Hogan going to rule the world one of these days. And forget Donald Trump, forget Obama, forget all these presidents because they don't know how to work.
Did he tell you to forget Obama?
He probably had a few choice words for that one.
Let me tell you something, brother. Remember to say your prayers, take your vitamins, and never get caught using the N-word on a recording.
What were you saying, Derek?
If your daughter's going to
because
be a black man, make sure you
because I'm like be running
shut
for
up,
president one of these days.
Hold on, Ratboy. Ratboy, Derek was saying something real, and you interjected your nonsense. Let Derek talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, Hulk Hogan's probably telling you if your daughter's going to date a black man, make sure he's an athlete and 7 feet tall.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
It's okay if she makes a record with one of them, but he doesn't want her dating one.
Don't you dare bring him home.
The worst.
Ratboy, what's on the menu at 7-Eleven tonight? What's on the menu tonight at 7-Eleven?
Vanilla milk.
It's all the milk.
Put it this way. I've been sick for the last 2 days, and I haven't been going outside.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's not the COVID, is it?
Is it COVID?
No.
Oh, okay.
Darn. No. Mm. It's not the flu, is it?
I'm not sure, but I feel much better today than yesterday.
But Sunday, I felt a little bit better because I know you're going to be mad at me.
Like everybody
I'm
else.
I'm going to be serious.
Okay. I bet it against my own team, the Eagles, and I won.
No, that was smart.
Yeah.
That was smart.
I was going to blame you for making money.
Yeah.
You made money.
You know, I feel bad.
Sure
I shouldn't have accused Rat Boy of having syphilis. Obviously, the only sexually transmitted disease this guy would ever get is mono.
Ooh.
See, I was going to say,
terrible.
If he got the syphilis off the sidewalk in front of his house, it's possible.
Oh, Rat Boy, I wish you a speedy recovery. I hope you start to feel better.
You can check Rat Boy.
7-Eleven and get your milk.
Yeah. You probably should go to bed, Rat Boy.
Those are the two things I know about you.
Now, what made me sick was, I think, after I went to bingo and all, and I think when I came home,
okay.
I stayed up all night to watch Crown Jewels, and it was all right, but, you know, I'm sorry that my prediction was wrong about the Demon King was going to win, but he didn't.
Kane?
But it's okay.
The mayor?
No, the Demon King, he said.
Oh, the Demon King. Oh, I think he said the Demon Kane. I was going to say, he's busy right now.
Oh.
Okay.
It was Xavier's Woods. It was his time. He deserved that shine. Like I said, I wish
he
on a show that could have lost.
Again,
I tell you what.
Shut up. Hold on. So that's another case. Xavier Woods, Consequences Creed, Austin Creed. You know? WWE owns that now. When he leaves, They could make somebody else Xavier Woods.
They probably
even
own
notice.
Up, up, down, down, too.
Probably.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do.
Probably. Derek, how would you feel if they brought in a different Xavier Woods if he left? If he left? Like the fake Scott Hall.
Yeah, is he going to have the fro and everything? Like, is it going to be that blatant?
Well, yeah.
Another Xavier Woods.
Pretty bad.
It's funny. I was listening to an interview he did, and he goes, you know, he was talking about how WWE had no plan for him. And he was like, you know, when I was in TNA, they just randomly partnered me with R-Truth, and we were just a tag team. He goes, then I come to WWE, and get called up, and what do? They put me in a random tag team with R-Truth, and they put me on Raw. He goes, whenever you don't have a plan for me, they just put me with R-Truth.
It's the truth. Hey, Ratboy, take care, man. Love you.
That dude's a Hall of Famer, R-Truth, for real.
I thought you meant Ratboy.
Yes.
He deserves it.
No.
He really deserves everything he gets. Where was I just reading? There was a time when he accidentally won the U.S. title. I forget who. I was just reading about this. It was like they just mistimed it, and Truth was, like, so excited. He went back there, like, celebrating and everything. He's amazing. He's great. He's great. Kevin, your topic, you wanted to talk. I know it's getting late, but I definitely didn't want to ignore it. The gimmick matches thing. I mean...
Yeah, I mean everyone's got a favorite gimmick match, right? I mean, I'm just kind of wondering what you guys would call your favorites.
You know what? I was always a huge spin the wheel, make a deal kind of guy, and this is the anniversary of the first one, actually. Well,
they
yesterday
just did it
was.
Tonight.
30
yeah.
years.
Yeah, they
yeah and they did it. They did it. Big fan. Coal miners love, man. Fantastic.
I was telling Kev before. I think my all time favorite is. The big blue steel cage. I love the big blue steel cage. That's what I grew up on. But I miss the bull rope match so much. The tagging the corners. It was like, this is completely different than wrestling. Like, it's not pinning. It's like, you gotta... It's such a great, fun gimmick that's not used anymore.
Yeah.
Tro, how about you? What gimmick match really always kind of got you fired up?
Oh, I keep going back to the Thunderdome match years back with Muda and Uncle Terry Funk and Clarence Singh, where the top was supposedly electrified. And
that was the vanilla press.
Yeah, and during the moment of the match, like the top, Muda had to spray out the fire on that lit on top of the cave with the mist.
That is
amazing.
Cool. That is really
Dustin?
Cool.
Dustin?
Derek. Derek, did you have a favorite?
Derek, sorry.
I don't know if this counts.
It's an easy mistake. Sorry.
Yeah, right? I don't know if it counts, but the original King of the Ring where guys had to wrestle three times in one night, I always loved that.
That was so much better.
I fell in love with that when I was a kid, and Brady's probably going to roll his eyes. But in 93, when Brett wrestled three matches, and all three of the matches were three different matches with three different guys. It wasn't the same match.
Yeah.
That was awesome to me. And even when Austin did it,
I was really cheering for Kurt Hennig in that. Yeah.
I know you were, Brady. You probably rooted for him, Brady.
I was.
When Owen won, I thought it was awesome. I miss
Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the Mabel one? That was three times in one night with Mabel.
Oh, remember King Mabel? Oh, Sir Mo. Sir Mo.
Sir Mo.
Oh, that was so bad.
Let me tell you, what brought this topic to mind for me was
my favorite
gimmick match was always War Games.
Yeah.
War Games was, the greatest gimmick concept ever. Dusty Rhodes comes up with it. To Hack's point, it's kind of like wrestling but not wrestling. Like, you couldn't. Pinfalls didn't count. There was no escaping the cage. You had to make your opponent submit, and you couldn't even do it until everyone was in the ring. You had this convoluted structure of
how many seconds
picked off and then coin flip.
And that's beyond, baby.
Yeah.
And if you,
the heels always won the coin flip somehow.
But, I mean, so I thought, and this is my own ignorance, so I actually commented to Hack and said, yeah, that's one you'll never see again because you know, WWE is not going to give up the floor space to have two rings out there. I didn't realize that NXT has had four
war games
matches.
No roof.
And,
so, right,
so that's my point. So I was watching – if you go online and, you know, there's – look, there's 100 lists out there where everyone will tell you what they think the best war games matches are. And, I think the general consensus is right. It's probably Wrestle War 92. Which is Stinger Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance. I mean, that match is – I just watched that match earlier tonight just to, as a refresher. That is nonstop action. You know,
total
nonstop? With, total nonstop action.
Okay,
it kicks off with Steve Austin and shit, I forget who he's facing off with to open the match.
Steamboat or somebody, wasn't it? It was somebody.
Now, Steamboat's like the third man in.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Douglas, maybe.
But,
it's okay.
Yeah. That match, end-to-end, nonstop violence. Nobody takes a break. You're not getting a lot of rest holds. Everybody is always battling somebody else.
Yeah.
I bring that up because I watched the TNA match because everyone seems – or not TNA. I watched the NXT match from 2017. I think it was their first one.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of falls on, that's probably the second best War Games match. So what you got there is a three-way, three-man tag team match. So you've got the Authors of Pain versus Sanity –
Undisputed Era at that time?
Undisputed Era, thank you.
Okay.
And, you know, it's an okay match. I'm not going to say it's bad. But the match starts out with three guys in the ring, and then when the first timer goes off, they release your two tag team partners. So now suddenly you've got all three guys from one team and then two singles wrestlers. Next one, you get, you know, six guys in.
Yeah.
The match doesn't start, like traditional war games, match doesn't start until everybody's in the ring. You take the roof off to allow for high spots.
Yeah.
I understand the desire to do that, but I think part of what made the old war games matches so great was the brutality of them. And,
I'm sure
and
Brian Pillman would agree.
I was just thinking he should have killed poor Brian Pillman.
And the confinement.
And Jesse Dillon, too.
Dillon was he smashing his shoulder in the first one, and then they replaced him with Ray Traylor, I think, in the second one.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's also so claustrophobic when you put that low ceiling on. And it really it feels dingier. It feels dirtier. It feels more real. It feels like a fight. And what I thought the worst thing that WWE did with it, though, was as that third team is coming in, and I think it is Sanity is the third team to come into that match, and you've got the big Belfast brawler,
Killian
Belfast Dan. Beast or whatever, So he comes into the ring, and he's coming in, he's tossing tables and chairs and Singapore canes, the whole bit. And it's like, you know, as much as I enjoy a good hardcore wrestling match, I told you guys last week, I love that stuff. Bring the weapons in. Let's take some chair shots. I'm all for it. In the original incarnation of War Games, you didn't need weapons.
Yeah, the cage.
The cage was your weapon. The brutality of the guys in the ring, they were your weapon. And I feel like you're kind of no-selling War Games by bringing the weapons in and saying, oh, well, we've really got to spice this thing up now. And then the other stark difference you see when you watch a match from 1992 versus a match from 2017, and everyone will tell you that the business has changed, and 2017 is a faster-paced, higher impact action, and I will tell you it's not. You know, you watch a lot of that match in 2017 is a lot of guys laying around the ring so two guys can square off and have a spotlight spot fest.
Yep.
Instead of 10 guys going tooth and nail at each other for the entirety of the match, for whatever it was, 23, 24 minutes. I feel like it's a concept they tried to revive. I think they've done three more since then. But it just definitely doesn't hold up to those old WCW ones, and especially when you look at, like I said, the guys that were involved in that 92 match. You got Stone Cold right before he breaks big, or Stunning Steve Austin, I guess, right before he breaks big.
Probably an amazing roster at the time. So.
Yeah.
And you've got Prime Sting there. You've got Ricky Steamboat, who's still got a lot left in the tank there.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson still with a lot in the tank there.
Shane Douglas was there. Yep.
Yep.
Rick Rude was in that match.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just really some brilliant performers, and they just they knew how to work in that confined space. So do yourself a favor. It's on Peacock. Go watch that 92 Wrestle War War Games match. It's fantastic.
You were saying, Derek?
No, I was going to say, I always thought the original Hell in a Cell, I always thought Vince created that to kind of erase and almost one-up War Games, because if you look at the original Hell in a Cell with Taker and Shawn, like you said, the only weapon is one chair shot, and that was the story of the feud with Taker and Shawn. Everything else was pretty much Taker, you know, beating Shawn half to death. So I always thought that they came up with the concept of Hell in a Cell to kind of overshadow War Games. It always
They allowed them to, like, climb around, which was a whole element that obviously War Games couldn't incorporate in 1990 or 92 or whatever. And really, if you look at the Hell in a Cell, it was almost the same design. It was just much taller. So that you couldn't drop Pillman on his head or whatever. You know?
I mean, it's taller, and it surrounds the ring to the point that you can still work outside the ring.
And obviously one ring is the other thing. I know a lot of people really felt strongly about they should have two rings for this. I never understood when WCW did that. Like with the two rings, the World War III with the three.
World War III.
World War III. Yeah. And it was hard.
World War III.
I mean, some of them were good. I mean, it was good action, but I hated the multiple rings. And I thought, if I paid for a front row ticket and I got to look across two rings to see the action, I'm pretty mad.
And that's your fault for buying that front row ticket.
That's
not on them.
Yeah.
I think that gives guys more room to work, though, too. And it also creates some drama with the two rings. The way that match opens is with Austin storming across, because they both enter from their own ring.
Yeah.
And Austin comes storming across his ring and getting, you know, over the two sets of ropes to get into the ring, and boom, he gets caught immediately. So then they can play into the whole strategy element, and, you know, definitely gave – and by the way, and not to no-sell the commentary on it, Jesse Ventura and Jim Ross do a fantastic job on that call.
Oh, my God, and they're probably wedged right against the cage with the fans about 2 feet from them, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at that today.
Yeah.
And times. When they did the War Games in NXT, the first one was weird. Like you said, it was three teams of three guys. After that, they kind of did more traditional. And I think all the ones after that, I think they kind of elevated Adam Cole to be like a superstar, because he was kind of like Triple H's player. They would put him in there every year, him and his team. And I think that kind of solidified Adam Cole as a superstar. So he definitely benefited from the later War Games down in NXT.
For sure. You guys want to do some quick hits and we'll get out of here? Is that okay?
Yeah. Real quick, I'm going to give you the lineups. Remember them. So Sting's team is Barry Windham, is who I was trying to remember.
Yes,
Steamboat, Dustin Rhodes, and Nikita Koloff. You've got your Dangerous Alliance of Arn Anderson, Rick Rude, beautiful Bobby Eaton, Larry Zbysko, and Steve Austin.
Amazing.
Very cool.
That's a killer lineup.
That is a roster and a half.
That was an amazing time, you know, and like kind of like the beginning of the Attitude Era when WWE got really young and it was like all these guys are building and they're going to be really good down the line. It was the same thing with WCW in those early 90s where like that was most of the industry was there.
Power plant, right? They had the ones bringing people up.
Yeah. So it was great stuff. Absolutely tremendous stuff. So real quick, I just have two quick hits, and I think they're both really funny. The first one is, for those who haven't seen it, you have to find So Kurt Angle, by the way, Chris Jericho is doing his cruise right now, or mm-hmm. was doing his cruise. And I remember mm-hmm. in the past they were doing like Dynamite Live from there and stuff, but this thing has really apparently fallen off a ledge a little bit. Like I saw a picture of like Rock and Roll Union, or Rock and Roll Union, right, that's the show on VOC Nation. Rock and Roll Express hanging mm-hmm. out, must have been three people around them, and they're just hanging out like at a bar.
Oh, no.
And that was like.
It was, you want to go on a cruise ship during COVID? I think that's probably the biggest reason.
I guess. I don't know. It was interesting. So anyway, Kurt Angle in the ring with Chris Jericho, and he sang Sexy Kurt, which if you remember Sexy Kurt, it was one of the last.
With the little cowboy hat.
Yeah. It was like Kurt Angle was like one of the last, when he was funny and they let him be funny, like he was one of the last like genuinely like unscripted, authentic, funny things that they did in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Once they turned him into an MMA monster and then got rid of him, that's when things started to change for WWE. You know, so he sang Sexy Kurt. The video is amazing. The crowd's all singing along with him. I recommend checking it out. Sexy Kurt is amazing. So.
I was gonna say Kurt.
That's always been one of my favorite kinds of heels is like your heel that you laugh at for what a goof they are, what a dork they are.
Well, that's
you know,
that funny, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. Yeah. I'm totally down for that. I like that type of heel, and I like your coward, your classic coward heel.
And cowardly heel. And Kurt was awesome because he could joke around and make you laugh, and then he could rip your head off. Like, I think Riddle has that potential because he's kind of a funny guy, and if you get him pissed off, he can rip your head off. But Kurt was great at that. One minute he's dancing, singing Sexy Kurt. The next minute, you know, he's throwing Shawn Michaels on his head. So I always loved that about Kurt.
For sure.
Can you imagine if Brock Lesnar ever had a personality? If Brock Lesnar, there's a topic for your what-if show, Stro. If Brock Lesnar had a personality at all,
I think
he would have been the single biggest star in the history of sports entertainment, yeah, all of it.
I don't think they let him.
He came out with the mariachi band and the sombrero, and he's dancing.
Or dancing with the Money in the Bank, like it was a boombox. He's got it. It was amazing.
I can't tell you how upset I was sitting at that show, forgetting that professional wrestling was scripted for a brief period of time, and I was like, Ali, just grab the case. You'll pay for it later. Just grab it right now and run.
Yeah. But Kurt was truly unique. That's for sure. Yeah. The other funny thing, and this is kind of another lighthearted, well, probably not lighthearted. I'm sure Punk will be complaining about it for 20 years. But so Eric Bischoff talking about AEW.
He's been on a roll.
Oh, my God. Actually, Blue Meanie had the comment of the night. He said he was on his Twitter or whatever, and he said that today was Dave Meltzer's birthday. And today's his 60th, which is a big deal. And he's like, or as Dave would call it, he is 18 to 49. I thought that was great. Yeah, no, so AEW is making this huge deal about the fact that they won their demographic for part of a show. And I can't believe how much they're like just going off on it. But Bischoff, man, he was talking about Punk and how like all the momentum he had coming in and everything. And he's like, they fell back down to 500,000 to 600,000. He said that CM Punk pooped the bed.
Yes.
I can't.
He did.
He pooped the bed.
I mean,
they blew their load. That's what it was. Yeah. That was the money maker. That was the time that brought him in. I mean, and then they hot-shotted Cole. They hot-shotted Brian. And it's just like, you guys could have spaced this out and teased it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, a topic for another day is, man, how great were vignettes? Like, introducing people before you ever saw them. And
imagine the
excitement.
Yeah.
Have tried a little bit.
I'm still interested in the debut of Beaver Cleavage. I mean, just I'm still just waiting for that. Mordecai.
Some were good, some were bad. But even, like, when you didn't know specifically who it was, but you thought who it was. Like, for example, when Jericho came to WWE, and they started with the countdown clock, and it was like, that's got to be Jericho. You look at that, and they rant, 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 rant. And it's really annoying, and they do it throughout the show. It would interrupt random stuff. And it was like, yeah, that's got to be Jericho. If they had done that with CM Punk and waited until October or November, or waited until their big pay-per-view, you know, they could have started in July or August, and then their, what is it, All In, All Out, Bought In, whatever it's called. They could have done it there. Yeah. Because did with him, all they did was play the music that they paid a lot of money for and do it in Chicago. There was no planning there. And, like, I know it's simple and it works. Sometimes it just works. But, like, to me, they could have done so much more with it, Derek.
And I think just look at how they – I heard people say if they sign Brian Danielson, that's it. It's going to tip it in their favor, blah, blah, blah. Look how they debuted Brian Danielson. He debuted 3 minutes after Adam Cole. So why do I care about Adam Cole anymore if Brian Danielson is going to come out 2 minutes later? I know people hate
– And on the same show as Ruby, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, and – I know people hate Jim Cornette and they think he hates AEW, but he does have some business sense. And CM Punk shouldn't be wrestling every week, and he definitely shouldn't be wrestling on your B show against guys nobody cares about.
Nope.
I love Bobby Fish as much as the next guy. CM Punk shouldn't be fighting Bobby Fish on a random episode of Dynamite on a Saturday night. He should be like your Roman Reigns or your Brock Lesnar, where he only wrestles on big shows, and he should only wrestle on special occasions. But they're dragging him out every week. Why is CM Punk special to anybody anymore? He's not.
And he's not. They're not even having him engage in generic feuds. Like, the last thing he did was with Taz. Now it's just he goes down to the ring, someone comes out and says, "I want to fight you," and he says, "All right, I'll fight you," and then he wins. That's every week.
And it sucks because, you know, I don't want to say Vince would have treated him better because it's Vince, but it probably would have made a bigger impact if he walked out on Raw or SmackDown.
Somebody say Taz!
But, like, if you look at his opponents, it's been Darby Allin, which I thought was good, but I don't know how Darby's benefited from that since then. It's been Daniel Garcia, it's been Bobby Fish, and it's been Hobbs. Nobody wants to see him wrestle these guys. Not when you have.
I would have.
You know why Hangman Page is such a big deal to these fans now? Because he was gone for a couple of months. That's why he wasn't on TV.
Right, and they had to get him away from the Dark Order, by the way. Imagine if they had, and this runs contrary to what I was saying, but if you're going to have Punk on TV every week, what if he came in and he beat a bunch of schleps for a bunch of weeks in a row, and then you do the pay-per-view match against Darby Allin, and you have Darby Allin win. How much bigger would he have been if he had won that match?
And you have a built-in feud there.
And a built-in feud. Yep. That's what I would have done. Yeah.
Now, you That's know who's smart?
Here's the pencil. Here's the book.
You know who's a smart guy? That's Jericho. Whenever somebody gets hot on that show, Jericho puts himself in a program with that person. He did it when Orange Cassidy was the hot guy on the show. He did it with MJF.
Yep.
Now they have the MMA guys coming in. He's doing it with the MMA guys. Jericho, he's no dummy.
Even with Moxley, Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. He knows what he's doing, for sure. So how much longer does Jericho have on his contract? I'm thinking he'll be leaving at some point soon. Because he's... You don't think? I think it's time to go make some music.
Oh, maybe.
I mean,
but he can do that on the side.
Yeah.
I'm a Chris Jericho fan.
He might.
I like
his schedule's
better. He has to stop wrestling soon too. Right? He doesn't look too good after some of these matches. He's looking like he's having a rough go at it.
Somebody posted a picture of him and oh my God, Whiplash. Why can't I think of his actual name?
Mikey Whipwreck?
No, the actor.
Ow.
Oh, Mickey
Rourke. Played
Whiplash.
Right. Ow.
Yeah, they showed the spot of Jericho and Mickey Rourke from WrestleMania and said it looked like Jericho's current self fighting his older self, and it was not wrong.
Wow.
You know, I was thinking about it because somebody brought up to me how Jericho was on that Stone Cold podcast right after WrestleMania this year. And that was, like, so cool and so groundbreaking at the time. And it was so important that I forgot about it 6 months later.
Yeah, nothing came of it.
I forgot.
One of the things Bischoff said, because I watched it today at work. It went on for, like, an hour about it. He goes, you know, they're manufacturing a war when it's really not a war. And he goes, you know, you're a two-year-old company. Nobody's expecting you to beat Vince because Vince has been around for 50 years. But when you go online and you say you want to go to war, you have to make sure you go to war. And I think they want their fans to believe they're in a war without them actually being in it. And I guess that's how you get the fan base riled up. But Jericho,
it's smart. It's what ECW used to do.
Yeah, they used to make you think, yeah, you know, we're in a war, blah, 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 blah. But it's not a war, not at this point.
No, but it's okay. Because it could be someday.
It could be, yeah.
Well, I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm thinking it's probably about time to get out of here.
Yeah, I think we should probably wrap this thing up. It's been a good show, though, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Derek, did you have anything you wanted to plug?
No, I enjoy the new format, though. I love talking wrestling.
Isn't this fun?
It's so fun, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back, and I can't wait to get you on the video. It's going to be amazing.
Yes, me and my big 70s afro will be on the screen. Don't worry.
I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait. Patrick, any plugs?
I got no plugs, man. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Papa Joe's taking care of the show. And happy birthday to the guy below me. Just celebrated a birthday.
Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday.
All right.
How old are you now?
41.
All right. 41.
41. Well, I remember when I was 41. Barely, but I remember it.
2 years ago?
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
Pathetic. Thanks for making me feel
I barely remember things from 6 months ago. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I clearly don't. So, did you have any plugs, Kevin, on the way out?
No, I mean, just to echo what the hack said, Steel Cage Radio, always happy to pop in on In the Room with Brady Hicks, and that is what all of the bumpers will remind you, that it's In the Room with Brady Hicks, not with the Stro, which seems a little wrong to me. That's just Brady being in business for Brady. But we're always happy to pop in, and we're looking forward to coming back in 2 weeks after everyone's done with their vacation.
Yes, and Stro, I wanted to mention before I kick it to you, so next week a bunch of us are off. So Patrick and Kevin, not going to be on next week. I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas for work, so if I can call in, I will. Stro has graciously agreed to run the board, and he'll be here with Ray and Kathy and hopefully Derek, but, whatever it is. Very cool.
And
very
don't
cool.
miss his groundbreaking 2-hour-long interview with Rat Boy next week.
It's
going to be a lot of fun. And when I return in 2 weeks' time, we're actually going to have a referee from Ring of Honor, from WWE, from the NWA. Kevin Keenan is going to be joining the program, so that'll be a lot of fun. He's a great guy. He is. I know he's had some issues in the past with, you know, different stories about him and stuff like that. But we're going to have a good time on the show and definitely talk some WWE and some Ring of Honor. And he's excited about the NWA thing because that's pretty new for him as well. So Kevin Keenan in 2 weeks' time. Stro, what do you got going on this week, man?
Well, as alluded to earlier, big week, Thursday night, Halloween special on WCW Retro, 19 Eastern Standard Time, USNation.com. Call in if you can, should be a good time. Friday night, Stro Zone, midnight Eastern Standard Time, at Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. And the feature will be Adam Costello meets Frankenstein. Please tune in. And then Saturday, it's the big premiere of the Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Origin Story. At Golden Ticket Cinema Twin in Lenore, North Carolina, be a red carpet premiere. And then the next day, It will be released on social media at their Facebook page, facebook.com/realdevilsdaughter. And as I said earlier, I'll forward a link to you guys to check out.
Awesome.
Okay, very cool. Well, from my end, thank you to Joey Ace for coming tonight, dropping some knowledge. The interview during the commercial break was priceless for me. It's a shame we couldn't have aired that, but for sure, thank you to Joey. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to the best crew I could ever ask for, Kathy, Stroh, Derek, Ray, Matt, Kevin, Patrick. It sounds like a lot, and honestly, I wouldn't be able to do it without each and every one of those guys. You're all so important for what we're kind of doing here at In the Room. But that's going to do it. Next week, Stroh will be leading the mothership and taking your calls. And in 2 weeks' time, I'll be back, and we will have Kevin Keenan on the program at that time. Everybody, take care. Oh, November 6th, DCWA Super Clash. Be sure to check it out on iPay-Per-View. What's that? I can't think of the network. I apologize. Oh, crap. Help me out here. What's the name of that network? What's the name of that network?
Fight TV?
But Peacock. No, not Peacock.
I Googled ECWA, and I got Erie County Water Authority.
ECWA Stream.
Wow, that's what you forgot.
No. It's IWTV. I apologize. That's what I Googled. ECWA Stream. I came up with the IWTV, which lists all of the ECWA shows, and Super Clash will be live on there. So everybody, have a good week. We'll talk to you real soon. I love you all very much. Take care.